Okay, with Nicholas T. Collier, Renegade Episode One, Redemption is a short film play at the Crime History Festival. We were just talking about Joey Votto. Most people who listen to this podcast probably have no idea who he is, baseball player. But you're in Lexington, Kentucky, and so what's the film scene there? I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a lot of up and coming people. The film incentive here in Kentucky has gotten a lot better over the last couple of years, and it's a lot of fun because you have a lot of people that are very hungry, which is a lot of the independent scene anyways. But you know, it feels a little bit more hungry here in Kentucky just because it is new. It's a little bit more new, and the incentive's getting better, so it's driving a lot more competition here. So it's a lot of fun.
And you guys are close to, how far away from you are you from Cincinnati?
I'm about an hour and a half from downtown.
Okay, so then it's two like mediocre, medium sized cities, right? Basically, like in kind of like an hour and a half away from each other. People don't like two different states, of course, right? But people don't realize that there's a vast population in this area, right?
No, it's like an hour and a half to Cincinnati, and I'm like an hour and 10 minutes from Louisville.
Yeah.
So I'm like right in the sweet spot of that. And then I'm 3 hours from Nashville.
Yeah. So it's
So
like
it's like,
500,000 people, like in each of those like roundabouts in each of those big city, right? So yeah. And but Cincinnati got the sports teams, but like in Lexington never did. Is there's a little bit of resentment about that?
I mean, it's always one of those things. I've always felt that Kentucky would have a great fan base for like
Yeah.
a professional sports team because, you know, we have. We have Kentucky basketball and Kentucky football, which has gotten a lot bigger. And they all the people always show out regardless if they're good or bad. They always show out. They always have good support. We have the Lexington Legends, which was a single A affiliate with the Kansas City Royals. They whenever Major League Baseball and minor league baseball did their whole revamp of
Revamp.
the minor league
Yeah.
system, the Legends actually got left off. So now they're part of the independent baseball scene. Then we have the Louisville Bats, which is the AAA affiliate of the Reds, which is, like I said, it's like an hour and 10 minutes from my
Yeah.
house. So we have that. And then we have the Florence Freed or the Florence Yalls now. That used to be
Okay.
the Florence Freedom, the Florence Yalls, which is also independent ball,
Oh.
which is like on my way to Cincinnati. So,
Gotcha.
but yeah,
All
so
right,
I
so
mean,
let's talk
there's.
about your films. So thank you for filling my energy with that, because I'm always curious. So Renegade Episode One, Redemption. So I'm assuming there's an episode two.
Yeah, so we just completed the crowdfunding phase for episode two. We were wanting to do episode two and three. Unfortunately, we just weren't able to get all of the funds we needed to do both. So we're just gonna be focused on episode two moving forward. It's gonna be a continuation of episode one. It should there's a time wise in the story, it should be like a week or two after episode one finishes. But we're getting right back into the action, right back into the story with all these characters.
So this is basically the premise is that there's the mob is controlling the city, and it's sort of like what's it's called Westwick City. Is it what's this a version? Is this a version of Lexington, Kentucky?
So it's just kind of like the way that I wrote the story is it's supposed to be kind of like a love letter to comic book movies. You know, these are
Yeah.
the movies that helped me realize I wanted to become a filmmaker. So I kind of wanted to, make something that was like an homage to all some of my favorite films. So it's just almost like that stereotypical like big city kind of thing. Like it there's
Yeah.
aspects of like it's not really tied down to one specific place or inspired by one specific place, but it's kind of like just the culmination of like all these different locations.
Gotcha. And so now there's a detective named Daniel Graves, and he wants to become like the newest vigilante in the city, kind of take down the mob, right? So the premise, we've seen this before, and we've like not that there's anything wrong with that, but we understand, like you said, this comic book type of setting. It's kind of based, like kind of Batman-esque, where it's like based in one city, and he's not like a superhero, I guess, right? Like he's inventing his superheroism, I guess, like Batman.
So one of the films that really I grew up like I loved a lot was The Dark Knight and Christopher Nolan's A Dark Knight trilogy. He took the story of Batman and he grounded it in reality and he
Yeah.
showed that He told the story of Batman through the lens of, how could this exist in the real world? And so I tried to do the same thing of like, how could this story of this character exist in the world that we live in? So it is, I mean, I'm a huge DC fan. I love Marvel too, but I'm definitely more of a DC fan. So it's a lot more dark, a lot more gritty. Like I said, it leans very much so into the noir. So I definitely was inspired by The Dark Knight a lot on that.
So how many, so basically this is episode one. How many episodes have you written so far?
So we have five planned right now for
Five
season
planned.
one. Yeah, so there'll be five episodes in season one, and then we'll move into season two after that.
And what was your, before you started filming this one, what was your filmmaking experience? Like, well, like did you make previous, I'm assuming you made previous films before this?
Yeah. So I made a lot of fan films. Like one of my the first bigger projects I've done was I did a five part web series based around the Green Arrow and like kind of based off the CW's Arrow. So where I played Oliver Queen, and this was like my final project for film school. So I made a five, like I said, five part miniseries, which is an original story. We kind of took the story of the death in the family, if you're familiar, where Jason Todd is killed by the Joker, comes back as Red Hood. We kind of took that and made it like changed it a little bit just to make it a little darker and a little bit more like the themes there, but it's a little different. So when at the end of the Death in the Family, Jason comes back as Red Hood and tries to take revenge on Batman, but in our version he decides to take revenge on not just Batman but the entire Justice League. So he hunts the Justice League one at a time because in his mind somebody should have saved him. It's not necessarily Bruce's fault, but everybody's fault because you have all these superpower beings. Superman can be there in the blink of an eye. The Flash the same way. Wonder Woman. Anybody could have stopped the Joker, but he didn't. So we used that premise in that to kind of make that character arc a little bit different. And then after that, I really specialized in like sports documentaries. I did a did four, I think three or four of those, different from all sorts of different sports. And then I've worked on a couple other short films as well, like I said, fan films.
Gotcha. So then this is your like crime fan, like superhero. This is like action. This is your thing, right? This is your genre. This is where you want to go.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely more into the action kind of crime, mystery, noir kind of stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. So tell me about, so then you wrote this the screenplay and then basically what was the next step for you? Did you, I'm assuming you had a team of people. Did you workshop it? What was the next step?
The way it started is, so I had the script. I was overworking in Japan for a while, and I had the scripts done, or at least the first episode done. And I was like, okay, I have it. I kind of just kept it in my back pocket. And then a couple years went by, and I got a camera for Christmas. I got a Blackmagic Pocket 4K, and so I got it. And I texted some friends, and I was like, "Hey, let's just shoot a scene from the script that I have. I just want to see how it works." I kind of gave him a quick little elevator pitch about it. I'm like, "All right, cool, let's do it." So I ended up being our proof of concept, and so we shot that, and then we're like, "Man, this was a lot of fun. Let's see how far we can actually take this." And we started, we sat down with a couple people and we started to build the team around, what do we need? Where can we take this? And started crowdfunding and went from there. And we only had, I think it was $2,000 to make the first episode. So
Oh, wow.
it was very, very low budget. Yes.
And then tell me about the casting, because obviously the was it Deaton who played Daniel, like a big
Correct, correct.
like an important cast, right?
So Deaton is actually also one of our executive producers, and I met him first. We met when I was in college, but we didn't really know each other. He was an actor on, I was doing a Steadicam workshop, and he was actually an actor on that. But obviously we didn't really have time to talk or anything like that. And then he got cast in a film that I had, got asked to direct from a friend, and he showed up and we were talking. I was talking about the workshop, and that kind of brought up, and we started laughing about it and all that because he hadn't seen the footage, and I had all my footage from it, so I showed him that. And after we stayed in touch, and he because he also lives in Lexington, so whenever we got to the filming of the proof of concept, I was like trying to think about, okay, who do I know that's an actor that lives in Lexington? And I was like, oh, I was like, let me just shoot Deaton a text and see what he says. And
Yeah.
so he got back to me and said, yeah, let's, I got a couple hours free. Let's do this thing. And then from there, he's been really helpful in on the producer side, because I am not a producer. I don't like producing, so I always have people do it or help me do it. That's just not my side of the behind the scenes. But he's been really, really helpful in the producing side and the producing aspect of making sure that all the behind the scenes stuff is taken care of in the correct way, and has been really, really helpful with reaching out to like all like the Facebook pages around here and trying to get like casting done, and reaching out to people that he knows and from past films to help with casting. So I mean, he's been an absolute blessing
Yeah,
to have on the
you needed
production.
a producer for sure, right? And then tell me about, okay, so then you got the producer, obviously he's helping you out casting, so like that. So tell me about Jonathan. He's your DP. Did you guys shoot just everything? Did you storyboard? What was your process?
So me and Jayway, we worked, or we went to college together. We graduated from Asbury University. We had really never had a chance to work on a project together, like a film together, which was really crazy to me, that we went through 4 years of film school and never really worked on anything together. It's just the timing for all of our projects never worked out. But so I texted him, I was like, hey man, I got this project, love you to DP it. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. So I sat down, shot listed everything. There was never a storyboard for episode one, so it was just based off a shot list. We, kind of throw it up on the monitors, say, hey, how's this look? I'm like, it looks great, like it. Or I'd, or he'd throw it up and let me look at it. I would be like, ah, can we move this just a little bit? And then we'd go from there. But he's got a great eye behind the camera. He brought a great team with him to help. His first AC, second AC. It was one of those things that it was right timing. It was right time, right place. And he really helped build that world.
And how many days did you shoot?
Think we shot the entire first episode, the pilot episode, in 4 days.
4 days? And like, so you have a lot of like kind of like in office stuff, I guess, right? Like it's like even the parking lot at the end of the movie, where like, so basically, so I'm assuming you're in an office space shooting the film.
So a lot of those locations, let's see, the police office, or the police chief's office, that was a friend that I knew. He works at a church, and so we were able to use his actual office at the church and just kind of set decked it a little bit. The parking garage was just a random parking garage in Louisville. The bar location and the opening montage was one of our other producers, Tommy Schaefer. He knew somebody who he had shot a commercial there, and he knew the people there, so we were able to get in there and shoot that little quick 40-second scene. The alleyway in the opening scene was just an alleyway next to a parking garage in downtown Lexington. So like all the locations were kind of, we knew people who knew people that could let us in certain places for, a couple hours at a time. And like the Daniel's house, that was one of the guys on crew, that was his actual house. So it just worked out that his house looked exactly the way we needed it to for that time. So we were able to get in there, which let us get in there for a lot more time than we would normally. And that's what allowed us to keep our budget, intact with just a $2,000 budget.
Gotcha. So yeah, because like it's all like that's the key of your film, right? Like you need these locations, right? So you do, you're just, you got in for a couple hours. Like I'm assuming the crew was kind of small in size, so you were fast.
I don't think we had more than 10 people like truly on crew at
Yeah.
a time. Like we had some PAs and stuff that would hang out after they were done acting, or that we had actors that turned into PAs after their scenes were done, just so they could be on set.
Gotcha.
But yeah, for the most part, it was a pretty small crew. It was a very small crew.
So then, basically, how were you feeling after you shot the film? Like after the 4 days, were you feeling good? Like how we like you're about to go into editing, so how's like you got a good vibe? You got a film there?
Yeah, so the right after we wrapped, all my buddies, they give me a hard time. They say I've got the quickest turnaround in the business, because I've got a little bit of ADHD. So like when I film and I have all this footage, I'm sitting on it drives me nuts not being able to see it put together. So I had the first rough cut done 2 days after we wrapped. So I had something in front of me where I could say, okay, this is, tweak here, tweak here. And I sent it to my colorist, which is Tommy. And he also did the audio. Him and Ethan Boland did our audio, which was all original score. And so we would have to sit down, and that was the hardest part, was getting the music to sound like the right way and to kind of fit the vibe of the scene. And the one that took the longest was the music for like Renegade's theme song. So like kind of his, which was the you hear for the first time whenever he pulls the blanket off of the suit. I think me and Tommy sat down. It took us an hour and a half to 2 hours just to find like the start of it, and then we hashed it out from there. But yeah, that was the most challenging part. Definitely was just finding the score to for the scenes to make everything sound right.
Gotcha. And then you did, and so like, who did the sound design though? Did you do the sound design too?
So that was Tommy and Ethan.
Okay.
So once I got my I got to Picture Lock, I sent it to them. The audio matched, did the sound design, did the Tommy also is my colorist, so he colored it all. Then we did the score, and so that was which was the first time I'd actually handed off a project to somebody who wasn't me. So that
Yeah.
was kind of a whole different experience to like not to like because like I trusted them, I knew that they do good work, but it was still kind of weird for me not to have full control over the final like the or the editing process start to finish. So it was definitely a different experience this time.
Gotcha. And so then, and then you just like you got the film, and then did you show it to the cast and crew first, or?
Yeah, so we did a first screening at with we did a double premiere with another film that most of us a lot of us had worked on. So we did a double premiere with them, and that was the first time where it kind of felt real, like seeing the film on a big screen in front of, it was mainly cast and crew, and then some other people that we'd invited were able to show up. But that was kind of like the first time where like it felt real, like we had really, done the thing. So that was a lot of fun.
And basically, and then you started submitting the festivals, and now you're like talking to me, I guess, right?
So that's kind of how we got to here.
So how did you, what did you think about the, we sent the audience to you. What did you think what the audience had to say about your film?
No, that was great. That was a lot of fun to see everybody's reactions to it and to kind of see that, some of the marks that I had, was hoping would hit when I wrote it and we were shooting it, to see them actually hit the way that I was hoping was definitely nice. And there was a lot of great feedback, and very thankful for everybody who took time out of their day to do that for us.
So tell me about what's behind what is that what's that message behind you? What does it say?
Oh, this is
Spirit lead, where me, where
yeah.
am I? Yeah.
There's the whole thing.
Okay, let me walk upon the water. So what's the sim? What's the thematic there? What's that? What is it? What is that about?
I think it's a, if I'm not mistaken, it's lyrics to like a Christian song that my wife really likes. So
Okay.
she is one of her favorite songs. So we found like the poster. I think it was like Hobby Lobby, and so she hangs it up in our dining room.
Gotcha. And so basically, like, so you see that every day, right? Okay. So go, so show it again just for the audio podcast. I'll say it out loud. So spirit lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the water wherever you would. Call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Okay, so there's a religious context to it. Gotcha. All right, so basically, you got this film on the wraps. Congratulations, it's on the
Thank
festival
you.
circuit. Now you're basically crowdfunding season two, episode two, and then now you're gonna do, you want to do three episodes up after that, right?
So the plan right now is to do episode two this summer, and then start crowdfunding kind of at the same time that we're shooting episode two, so that
Yeah.
we can hopefully have episode three ready to go in the winter,
And then
and
you
then kind
want,
of every 6 months essentially have be filming the next episode.
and you're going to put these on your YouTube channel and kind of get presence on YouTube.
Correct.
Gotcha. That's the game plan. Gotcha. Well, congratulations on the film. I appreciate your time. And we'll obviously, hopefully you'll submit episode two. We'll show it more than likely. a pretty high percentage chance that we will, because it's we've already shown episode one. And yeah, looking forward to seeing it made, and see what you do in the future.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, man. Have a good one.
You as well.